Hello and welcome along here to CRY 104 FM. I'm Angela Kearns and I'm joined by Molly Gowan for the second of six short programmes about assertiveness and self-esteem. In the first programme, we spoke about the aura and boundaries, and today we will speak about how to say no to people in a respectful way. So hello, Molly.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well. So last time, Molly, we did speak about the aura and boundaries, and today we're going to speak about how you can say no to people in a respectful way.
That's right. So basically, we have the idea of the human aura, which is the electromagnetic field around us, and then we have the idea of boundaries, so that you're protecting your own energy as such. You visualise this in your mind, as you know, the boundaries are like little, they're not a wall. You're not putting up barriers between yourself and other people. It's not a fence. You don't have to jump over it. You're just saying, that's the line. That's where I end. And when I say, for instance, saying no. Now, saying no, a lot of people find that very difficult. It's the most powerful word in the English language, like no. Like, what part of no don't you understand? But we're conditioned to love our neighbour as ourselves. That means we have to love ourselves first. Now, we're a lot of women, especially from the older generations as well, were brought up to look after everybody. Now, you have to look after your kids, you have to look after your family, you know, but you know, you have so much spare time, but with your interactions with other people, then you don't owe them anything. And there's givers and takers in life, isn't that right?
Absolutely.
There's four ideas that to deal with the guilt of saying no. It's conceptions, preconceptions about no. Saying no is not rude. People think it's rude. Oh, it'd be rude to say no. How many times have we heard that? It's not rude to say no. You say it gently. You don't have to shout. You don't have to say it in a nasty way. You can just say no. And the other thing you can do is say, if you're not used to saying no, you can say, I need a bit of time to think about that. And thank you very much. That's a great idea. And I let you know as soon as I can. People are happy. They go away happy out. People are afraid to refuse in case the other person is hurt. That hurt their feelings. Oh, they'll be really upset now if I don't babysit on Sunday night and da da da. But actually, no, they won't, because if you say no quietly in your own way, they'll go and ask somebody else, and you know, it's don't feel guilt tripped by it. Now, it's recommended that you don't say, I'm sorry. Someone said, can you babysit for me Saturday? I'd say, don't say, I'm sorry, or, well, it's terrible, I feel terrible. Just say no. Quietly. If they keep asking, some people are very persistent and they'll keep shouting at you until you know, they'll beat you down, they'll bully you. Keep saying no. It's called the broken record technique.
As you know, I did one of your courses years ago, and I was someone who had a very difficult time saying no to people at the time. And like that, feeling guilty. If somebody asked me to do something, I'd go off and drop everything that I had planned just to do something. But then you sort of become a little bit resentful sometimes, you know. You don't want to, but you do. But I did put what I learned in your course into action, and I do use it now. And you know what? Like you said, if you say to somebody in a nice way, look, you know, thanks for asking me, but no. You know, yeah. And not to give an excuse, because you know, then people start saying, "Oh, I don't feel well,"
You don't have to justify that. People don't. They don't actually care.
But just speaking there about the assertiveness and self-esteem, most of this comes when people have a low self-esteem for whatever reason. People have it for different reasons, and it's only when you start to have respect for yourself, really, isn't it, that other people will have respect for you as well?
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. And it's about you feeling good about yourself, saying, no, I'm too tired to do that. And you choose to do something that makes you feel better about yourself. We have to do self-nurturing things. We have to look after ourselves.
Right. So, Molly, another thing, talking of assertiveness and self-esteem, is another thing to watch out for is body language, isn't it? It's very important when you're speaking with someone.
Yes, it's very, very important. And again, very simple, and easily identifiable, and it's not rocket science, like body language. If you're calm, say you're feeling calm, you'd be sitting down with your hands at your sides or on your lap and your feet together, and you're just calmly sitting there, right? If you're in an angry frame of mind, you'd be waving your arms above your head, you'd be moving around your limbs, you'd be jumping up and down, you'd be walking around, you'd be raising your voice, you'd be gesticulating, you'd be... So there's two opposite ends of the spectrum. So the body language, if you're looking at two people, one is sitting in the chair, they think they're calm, look at the other one having a fit, well, you know. So body language is very powerful mirror of how we are feeling. Now, it actually works in reverse as well. So say you're feeling really panicky and you're going for an interview and you're sick to death, terrified and everything, and you just say, no, act calm, sit down, lower your shoulders, tuck your elbows in and sit there and put your feet together and just chill. And by acting calmly, your body actually makes you calm. Your physical body triggers off something that makes you calm, which I find fascinating. So acting, you have to act calm. And the same with the assertiveness. Then the other thing that's very important is to speak only for yourself. You can only speak for yourself. You know, and nobody's wrong and nobody's right. And you don't use terms like that. Just say, I felt very hurt, or I feel I've worked here in this company for 6 months and everybody else is getting raised and I didn't get one, and I just wanted to ask you why not.
Just as you spoke there a little while back, so we'll say there's someone who maybe keeps repeating the same behaviour over and over and it is disrespectful to you.
Yeah.
How would you deal with that?
Well, the first
like
thing,
if you draw okay, their attention yeah, to yeah. it and you say it to them yeah. and they still continue with a behaviour.
Right. Well, the first thing, that's a very interesting now, because I was going to go on to some kind of examples. And this requires planning. Assertiveness, you must think, if say it's a work situation, you have to figure out what you're going to say and how you're going to say it. And choose your moment. Do not wait until you get into a conflict situation or until that whatever abuse or nonsense happens again. Wait when the person have a nice cup of coffee in the morning, have a chat, and then they're not expecting. And you're not in a temper. You're not aggressive. You're not. You're just talking to them really calmly. But you must prepare it, because it's not an easy thing to do and it's new behaviour. They'll be gobsmacked. And just, but that's all you can do then is say, I, and then complain them, of course. There's a complaints procedure in every office. Like,
one thing though, with everything that we've spoke about, you know, and you'd say saying no, whether it's saying no to people or letting people know if they're disrespecting you, it can be very hard to do it. You know, that first time that you do it is very hard to do it. But I remember I read a book years ago. I don't know if you ever read it. It was called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
Yeah,
it's a great book. It's a great book. And you know what? The only way to get over the fear of something is to actually do it, isn't it? You know, whether that's speaking up to someone or actually doing something. But that's the only way that you'll get over the fear. And when you do, you actually feel really good in yourself.
It's very calming. And you think, I did that. Now, it's actually like a stage performance, because you have to think about, and you're not used to behaving like this. It is really difficult. But when you do it, you think, wow. And then the other person kind of responds well. And the other thing that can happen, which would put people off maybe about discussing something, you know, you're not challenging them, you're just having a chat in a calm way that is different, about the same thing, but just the way you deliver it, you know, what you have to say, your concerns or whatever. You're not attacking them, you're just asking them to stop, that you don't like their behaviour. That's grand, like, that's a reasonable request. They probably don't even know that they're upsetting you. Most of these conflicts are basically due to misunderstandings. You'll find when you do this kind of work, you think, oh, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. I was only joking. Say, okay, fine. You think that's funny. I don't think it's funny. That's what they all say. But anyway, it's a lovely way to work. And if people are like that with each other, they're very clear and they know where they stand. And it's very useful in management. Now, that's what I was teaching here, but my qualifications weren't recognised in England, so I got into training and management, and so this would be all management that's, you know, for effective management in an office as well. It works really well, the assertiveness, you know.
But I suppose it works in every area of life, whether it's at work, whether it's with your family, your friends, it works in all ways.
It absolutely, really. It does, yeah, it does. And it makes, if you want to be a calmer person, a happier person, you know, you're entitled to be happy. You're entitled to not do things you don't want to do. You're entitled to have some time for yourself. And the other, but there's a couple of sort of syndromes that have come up. When one is the rescuing business, and that is also a bit like needing to be needed, to feel if your self-worth is so low that you need to be kind of slave to everybody else's whims and, you know, looking after you. It's yourself that you're actually punishing. You know, you need to stop doing that. It's like kind of a masochism. I don't really rescuing other people. It's you're the one who needs to be rescued. You're the one who needs love. You're the one who needs to be minded. And you go around doing it for everybody else. And you're even more alone then, and you're more exhausted, and you're more... That's a no-win situation. Like,
I suppose, though, you know, being human, we all try and... The first thing you do is you're trying to help people if you think they need it. But you know what? I learned a long time ago that you actually can't help anyone unless they want to help themselves first.
Words
you're
of
actually
wisdom.
Wasting your time. Exactly. You can do all sorts for people, but unless they actually want to help themselves,
you know, you kind of try to help somebody who doesn't want to change, who doesn't want help, but obviously needs it, and then they get really mad with you because you kind of notice that they're unhappy or something, and you mention it, and they go berserk because you hit the nail on the head. But they're in denial. Denial is not a river in Egypt, somebody said. Because let's get real about this, you know. And so self awareness is very good, and it's good to know, and also personal growth. You know, you do put in these little techniques, you get used to it, and you're able to cope with situations a lot better, and protect your kind of mental health, you know, as well.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add in now for the day?
No, not really. I think we will. I'll do next week. Now we'll look at body language a bit more, because and see how they're actually how to deal with that, how to present yourself in a calm way. And
well, actually, I've said this to you before. When I'm speaking with someone, I take much more notice of what their body language is saying than what's coming out of their mouth. I've said that to you before.
They can be two different things.
Absolutely. So I think we'll leave it there, Molly, and we'll be back with the third little short programme next week, and we will speak more about body language.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Angela.
Thank you for joining me, and we'll talk to you all next week. Yes. Bye for now.
Bye.